WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Robert Siegel's with us. Let's see what's coming up on All Things Considered. Robert, are you analyzing the results of yesterday's Super Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll hear from Elizabeth Arnold about where the campaigns are headed next after Super Tuesday, and also a talk with two political scientists and brothers, Earl and Merle Black, about the South and how Southerners vote in presidential races and in congressional races very differently is the answer, and we'll see which way turns out to be more common in the coming years. We'll also be talking with filmmaker George Lucas about his television series, The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and we will learn about the origins of the Eskimo pie. Its creator has died this week. You know what it was originally called?
What?
The Ice Cream Bar.
Oh, please. Thanks, Robert. That and more on All Things Considered from National Public Radio. For many Americans, trying to balance work time with play time is a losing battle. A new book titled The Overworked American by Juliet B. Shore explores why and how the work side of the scale has gotten so loaded down. Maureen Corrigan has this review.
Juliet B. Shore tells us something in The Overworked American that deep in our weary minds and muscles we already knew. We Americans are working much too hard. Shore claims that hers is the first study to recognize that our work hours have been rising over the past 20 years. The dizzying numbers she crunches are guaranteed to make you feel justified in turning into a couch potato on your rare hours off. Shore says that each year, over the past 20 years, American workers, blue, white, and pink collar, have spent about 9 more hours on the job. When you add the hours up, the total increase is startling. On the average, we're working an extra month more than we did in the early 1970s. Americans today have fewer vacation and sick days. We're working more overtime and sometimes second jobs. Our manufacturing employees currently work 320 more hours a year than their counterparts in France and Germany, who, by the way, receive 5 to 6 weeks of paid vacation. Ah, but what about those industrious Japanese we keep hearing about? They do work more hours than we do. But Shore points out that excessive hours are considered a serious problem in Japan. Thousands of white-collar workers have keeled over at their desks and become victims of karoshi, or death by overwork. If we want to compete with Japan, Shore says, we should boost our productivity, and she demonstrates that shorter work hours often make for more productive workers. Shore is an economics professor at Harvard, and she backs up her arguments with plenty of stats, charts, and footnotes. But The Overworked American is not a chore to read. Shore is a graceful writer, and her facts about work are so incredible that even though her book is short, I filled up half a legal pad with notes, dotted with exclamation points, as I was reading it. Among the many myths Shore debunks is the image we have of people in earlier civilizations living lives of unremitting toil. On the contrary, Shore says steady employment for 52 weeks a year is an odd modern invention. According to one estimate, 13th century peasants put in only about 150 days a year working on the land. The rest of the time they spent drinking grog and waiting for the Renaissance to arrive. Another related myth is that capitalism created leisure time. Really, Shore says, it ushered in an expanded workday. And the consumer longings that capitalism generates have locked Americans into a cycle of working and spending in which leisure is left out of the loop altogether. Shore writes that the nation needs to slow down, unwind, and recover from its ordeal of labor. Sounds great to me, but how do we do it? Shore suggests implementing standard hours for salaried jobs, comp time instead of overtime, and part-time jobs with prorated fringe benefits. The only suggestion of hers that doesn't sound feasible to me is her Zen advice that we renounce our materialistic desires. Much as we might envy the long weekends those serfs enjoyed, I don't think Americans would willingly adopt a medieval lifestyle, sans TVs, VCRs, and microwaves. But as Shore points out, when it comes to enjoying our birthright to leisure time, Americans are still in the dark ages.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.